Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This is our 274th episode of the podcast. I really do appreciate you tuning in. I hope you are having a great week. Hope you are having a creative week and a safe week. And we all need to make sure we're taking care of each other as best we can. So hopefully you are making sure that you are taking care of your family, friends, loved ones, and community. I've been teaching a lot over the past several years. I mean, that's one of the things I do is in addition to my photography, I'm a photo educator. So I teach classes, I teach workshops, I teach and speak at a various variety of places. And one of the things I've always found interesting is something that comes up for people where they often, I don't even know how to, if there's a specific phrase they use, but in the end, it kind of, the gist of it boils down to, they feel like they are stuck in a rut. Things are repetitive. They just can't get things done. They're stuck somehow in their editing process and their shooting process. And when you kind of start to peel back the layers of that onion, it all boils down to kind of the same basic thing. It's an inability to try something different. It's an inability to put some risk into something or a spin on something or a willingness to turn and change directions to try something else. And I see it a lot more with adults than I do with younger kids. So if you're teaching kids, they seem much more willing to embrace the uncertainty that comes with change than we do as adults. And I think part of that is probably out of angst and fear. We don't want to look foolish. We don't want to look like an idiot. We don't want somebody to make fun of us. We don't want to make fun of ourselves. We don't want our own brain to tell us how stupid we are because we don't know how to use a slider bar in Lightroom or in Photoshop. But as we start to edit and work on photographs, one of the things that consistently comes up over and over again when I work with people is that they're not satisfied with the type of work they create. And yet, they go out and create the same type of work over and over again. And that's what kind of leads me to this week's podcast topic, which is the notion of the importance of trying something different. One of the biggest pieces of advice I ever got when it came to my creative practice was that if you are stuck at a wall, just turn left or right. You'll no longer hit the same spot in the wall. And unless you're trapped in a very, very small hallway, turning left or right will actually give you a new perspective and give you a new different direction to go where you'll no longer be stuck. And I've kind of tried to heed that advice a lot in my own practice and my own process because I get stuck a lot. I think a lot of people get stuck. You get going through the motions and you realize, wow, this just isn't working anymore. And yet we still try to apply the same principles and the same notions and the same concepts. One of the interesting ways I found this to be true is in helping people create workflow. So one of the things that I find is that people are stuck and they don't quite understand how to edit photographs and they will go try somebody's editing workflow. They'll try somebody's editing routine or presets or process. And then they'll go out and try somebody else's and they'll try somebody else's and they'll try somebody else's and they'll try somebody else's and somebody else's. Hopefully you're getting to the point here that what they are spending their time doing is continually trying something different rather than actually settling in and figuring out what works for them. I think that's one of the things where when you look at some of the photographers who are doing film or some of the photographers who are still currently working with film, there is a benefit to working with film because in some ways you're having to figure out a lot of decisions about how you're going to process and edit that film when it's shot. So you're having to think about, particularly like with black and white, are you going to put a filter in front of the camera so you can change the contrast of the black and white image? Are you going to push the development? Are you going to pull the development? Are you going to try to increase or decrease the contrast of the scene based on the light that's in the actual image? You have to decide that up front because that happens during the film development process. You can't a little bit with some of the things you can do in the darkroom, but you can't make a massive change to the capture of the image after the fact. Once it's committed to film, you're then very confined to what was actually captured in that single frame. Color slide film, color regular film, if you miss a highlight, if you miss a color, if you miss something in there, you won't necessarily be able to correct it like you can digitally. So film photographers have to think about that up front a little bit. So they're having to make some of those decisions ahead of time. And if you're shooting film and it consistently doesn't come out correct, you consistently make that mistake, you have to end up doing something different because you can't ever get the print you want. And I think that same methodology should hold true for those of us who work in a digital workflow. And even if you're film scanning or you're shooting digitally and going straight into a digital Lightroom or a digital workflow, one of the things that I think is critical in that aspect of your workflow is figuring out really what works. And if it doesn't work, don't go and try to do the same thing again and again. And at the same time, you have to accept that part of what happens to us when we're frustrated is there are times where we need to actually acquire a skill. Masking in Photoshop is a skill that requires practice. There's a bunch of ways to actually create masks, but at the end of the day, to become good at masking, you have to practice masking, whether it's the pen tool, channels, quick selection tool, whatever you're going to use requires some practice to actually get good at that. The inability of us to make the decision to practice is one of the things that limits our ability to be successful at that. We say the tool doesn't work, or I can't do it, or it's frustrated, or I'll just have to settle with the image not being what I want, because we're unwilling to try something different. That difference would be practicing masking. So as we look at the process, we look at the things we work on, the things we consider working on, I think that's an important part for us to realize is that the constraint we put on ourselves is our willingness to repeat the same thing over and over again. And much like the phrase says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I think photographers are in a lot of cases are pretty insane because I do think they expect something to be different through the same actual steps and process. Or they go to the other extreme. In an effort to try something different, they believe that there's a holy grail of something out there that they need to acquire. So maybe that is changing camera systems. Maybe you're a Nikon shooter and you decide the answer is to switch to Fuji and that will fix your problems. And while that may fix it in the short term because it does give you this jolt of energy to play with your new equipment, it doesn't solve what is at the root level of your problem, which is your inability to actually create the photographs you want. Those same routines, those same processes, those same problems will ultimately rear their head even with a switch of equipment. It doesn't actually solve the root level problem. So trying something different in this case is not different equipment. It's trying something different in your sense and ability and your way of approaching your work. It's so easy for us to think that there is a holy grail device out there, a set of lights, a set of camera equipment, switching to film, switching to digital, that something is ultimately going to fix that root level problem of us not getting the images we want. But at the end of the day, it's if we're not getting what we want, it's because we're trapped into trying to make things happen that aren't there. And that might be education. It might be actually an equipment problem. Maybe you need a wide angle lens because you're trying to create wide angle images from a telephoto lens. But at the end of the day, you have to decide what is it within your own workflow, within your own process that makes that a challenge? What is it that's making that so difficult? Also, you can see this in the discussion of photographs. One of the things I hear over and over again is people say they wish they could have a better critique of their photographs. They wish they could have a better conversation with their photography. And when I ask, well, what do you do when you have a conversation about your photography? Do you actually provide people meaningful insight into the work you critique? And most people say no, because if I'm in my photo club or in my photo group or I'm sharing feedback, people get upset if I give them honest critical feedback. Well, if you want honest critical feedback, you're going to have to start to give people honest critical feedback and probably coach them on how to give that feedback and take that feedback. I mean, your feedback is just like my feedback, is an opinion. We could decide what to do with it. We could ignore it, accept it, take part of it. We could ask questions about it. But by saying that I don't get what I want out of my feedback from my peers, and if you're not having the conversation about what kind of feedback it needs to be, then you're stuck doing the same thing over and over again. Showing a photograph, getting feedback that's not helpful, going back, creating a photograph, getting feedback that's not helpful. We need to change that dialogue. We need to change that discourse so that we do get something meaningful. And at the same time, sometimes what we have to tell people is, oh, I appreciate the feedback. And that's it, because it's not meaningful. We don't have to tell them. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be rude. But we can't choose to ignore certain feedback because it's not insightful and helpful. And you can also choose to not share photographs with people from a critical critique standpoint if it's not helpful. If you're looking for something more than it's a pretty picture, you're going to need to be around people who are willing to give you feedback that says it's more than just a pretty picture. Trying something different in that conversation is what drives that forward. So maybe showing up and saying, hey, I've thought about 5 questions that I'd like you to think about and answer when you talk about my photography. Maybe it's technical, maybe it's content driven, maybe it's subject matter driven, whatever it is. But you show up and instead of saying, do you like my photograph? Say, can you answer these 5 questions about this photograph? If the person says, well, geez, I'm really going to have to think about that. Good. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of a criticism and critique, is that the person thinks about the photograph before they tell you about the photograph. If not, we fall back into our default social media Instagram like button problem, where we're not getting meaningful feedback. We're just getting some level of cursory feedback that somebody has seen a photograph and acknowledged it. So trying that difference in the way you approach the discussion of the photograph might be what you need. And I don't know what your five questions are. Maybe there's 10, maybe there's two, but whatever you're looking for with the photograph, look to that experience. It's the same thing also when we actually go out and do exercises for photographs. One of the things I do oftentimes in my workshops is I tell people we're going to go out and photograph today, and we're going to create a bunch of really fun photographs. We're just going to go out and have a good time shooting. People are just going out, and we're just going to click and click and click, and for 2 hours, 3 hours, however long we're out, we're just going to photograph. We go to a junkyard. We might set up lights in the studio and just play with weird stuff. And inevitably, when it comes back and people start to look at their images, I hear people say, well, these images aren't good. They're not very interesting. I didn't get the things I wanted to photograph. And I remind them the exercise was not to create good photographs. The exercise was to have fun making photographs. So I'm like, did you have a good time when you were photographing at the junkyard? And they say, well, yeah, I had a great time. I just didn't get any good photographs. Well, that wasn't the point of the exercise. So part of the expectation of trying something different is realizing sometimes what is the purpose of what we're doing. If your purpose is to learn, if your purpose is to have fun, if your purpose is to just enjoy, if it's to be present, whatever it is, maybe that in itself is what you should acknowledge about the photography. The realization that what you made in the image isn't about always a great photograph. Maybe it's about creating something that helps you remember a moment. So understanding that the response we have to photographs is oftentimes set by that expectation we create when we look at the photograph, when we think about our experience of what we want that photograph to be. So if we can approach a difference, if we can think about it differently, we can end up in a different spot than where we started because we have a new context for the way we might think about the photograph or the photographic experience. I know for me, a lot of times in my own photography, what I'm really hoping to get is a chance just to be out and present in the moment. So my photography is not necessarily that I'm coming back with great photographs, but I got to go out and experience being present. And even if I don't push the shutter, I just got to be there. I got to get in the moment and hang out in the moment. And it's one of the things that's helped me not carry a camera all the time and not necessarily think about the camera at every moment and every experience. It's why sometimes going maybe to a concert or maybe going to a park or maybe going to a protest rally, if you're doing that now, maybe going and just being present instead of photographing the event you're at, that will allow you to experience that moment. It's something different than thinking about how am I going to capture this through the camera, but rather how am I going to be present and experience the thing I'm interacting with. So no matter what it is, sometimes just a little shift in that mentality we take and bringing our awareness to what we're doing can make a huge difference. So I think if you're finding yourself at some point stuck, you're feeling like you're not getting what you need out of your photography, whether that's your editing, your shooting, the dialogue you're having about your photography, try a different approach. Try something different in your own mindset as you bring that awareness to that issue to the forefront. Like I said, if it's editing, maybe it's actually you need practice. Maybe if it's something in shooting, it's being more mindful and present or changing the expectation on what's going to happen when you take the photograph. And if it's talking about photographs because you're not getting the feedback you want, maybe you need to set up the set of questions and the dialogue and the context for the conversation you hope to have. I hope you get a chance to really think about maybe some of those little areas in your photography where you could make a little pivot. It doesn't have to be huge, but little changes make a huge difference. I know for me, I've struggled over the past couple of years. I have a set of studio lights I bought to do some portraiture projects, and they've just been kind of collecting dust. And even just shifting that up, so now that I'm shooting some still lives in the studio and actually just playing with the lights for the still lives for the different plants from the garden, has just kind of set my awareness of what I'm doing with my photography, set some of the awareness I had around the joy of actually working with artificial light. Just a little bit of a shift. So instead of having to go out and think about a large-scale portraiture project, it got to be a small little still life project. So sometimes it's just a little click of a little dial can make a huge difference in that approach. So I hope you have a great week. I hope you get a chance to do something creative. Again, don't forget to take care of your family, your friends, and your community. Right now, it's important that we all take care of each other. I wish you the best of luck with everything this week. And don't forget, you can always find us up on all the podcast platforms. So if you're switching platforms, make sure you find me up on the new platform. I really do appreciate you listening. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.